This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh and I'm here with Brandon.
I'm so happy to be here.
I said that like I didn't know your last name. Like I just let's just hang in there for a second.
Well, we're distant colleagues. We've never met in person and we try not to get too personal about these things.
No, that's true. So let's get right into our personal recap of game week 32. Just to take a step back here. We had a week off from the podcast. How was that for you?
Well, it was good to recharge the batteries, but honestly, I didn't know what to do with myself.
I don't know. I kind of liked it. You know, I didn't like it so much that I was like, no more podcasts. But I liked the week off. I think trying to fill 2 weeks of, like, you know, during the international break, filling up 2 weeks worth of podcasts is a little tricky. You end up having this one podcast where you're just kind of speculating on the week to come, you know, theorizing about whether someone's ankle injury in the international break is bad enough to get them to start. It's just a weak podcast, I think.
Yeah, it did free me up to just only really worry about my own team. I think somebody in the Hail Cheaters Twitter feed I saw said very plainly, I have zero idea what to do with my team. And I identified with that so much.
I know. So. And you pulled, I don't know if this was something you did intentionally to throw me off the scent, or if you really did just make a last minute change. But, you know, you were a little, I had talked about bringing in Payet on Twitter and you were a little doubtful about that. And then I talked about captaining Aguero and you were a little doubtful on that. And it turned out in the end, we both brought in Payet, we both captained Aguero. And I was a little bummed out when I woke up in the morning because I saw we had basically the same team. Except your team had already done much better than mine.
after the Chelsea Villa game, I had 12 points on you.
Yeah, and I had Ivanovic, so I thought I was looking okay. I thought it was pretty much a neutral move there. But you brought in
Courtois for an injured Joe Hart, and that is I think everyone could guess a 1 week punt. Because let's just get it out in the open right now. I think like probably 75 to 80% of our listeners, we have active wild cards right now.
That's right. Very
exciting. So we both activated our wild cards this weekend. And Courtois, it was only going to be for the Villa game. And I was just looking for some guaranteed points going into this kind of peculiar game week 32. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I couldn't have been more thrilled. Courtois gets 7 points and Azpilicueta, Dave, who he's not really done anything for me since I brought him in. This was his last chance to shine on my squad. He gets an assist, a very lucky assist on that Loftus cheek sort of deflected goal.
So at this point, you basically need, for me to beat you, I'm going to need a goal from Hector Bellerin, a goal from Gylfi Sigurdsson, and it would really help if I got something from Ashley Williams.
Yeah, and, yeah. Your only three differentials there.
So going into halftime of the 10 o'clock matches, I'm screwed, you know.
Like, yeah, and I had already gotten an assist from David Silva at that point.
And an assist from David Silva. So yeah, within like 20 minutes in the second half, though, I get a goal from Sigurdsson, a goal from Bellerin, and then it was a little nerve-wracking because I knew he had to hold on to that clean sheet too. But goal from Bellerin, and then inexplicably, like in the 80th minute of that of the Swansea Stoke match, yeah. Ashley Williams, center back, is like at the. He's like,
what was he doing up that far? It was insane. He was like playing in the hole. He's like, pass me the ball.
I had to go to Wikipedia and make sure that number five or number six, whatever his number is, I was like, that must have been Wayne Routledge, or there was no way that was who I think it was. And lo and behold, and he was on a yellow card too. So I was expecting nothing from him in this match.
That was just icing on the cake. That was probably one of the most transformative halves in our FPL head-to-head season so far.
Premier League history, or just
you really managed your way out of that one. Well done, Josh.
I made the right second half substitutions, and it really really panned out.
I couldn't believe your luck, but I just had to tip my hat to you. And when you got that Ashley Williams assist, I just thought, oh, when you're on the receiving end of all that good fortune, it's just the best feeling.
It is a good feeling. So going into Sunday's match, it was one-on-one. It was I have Schmeichel and you have Huth. So yeah, I mean, how close? Yeah, almost like a complete wash, right? Especially given, then when Morgan gets a goal at the front, you're like, well, I'm not even going to get 3 bonus points, probably.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my only victory there was to steal the 1 bonus point off of your Schmeichel, and it goes to Robert Huth. So I took that as a small win for me at the end of a long game week.
How closely do you watch a match like that? Where you're like, are you thinking you can get a goal? I mean, are you just kind of waiting for a reset piece?
Oh,
you
know, God. I mean, every corner kick, I look for number six, which Huth is number six, and I just focus on him, and I watch him and only him. I don't even look to see when the ball is in flight from the corner quadrant. I just watch, is Huth moving? Does he look like he's about to pounce?
You're like one of those NFL players that only watches the offensive line. You know, you're not even watching.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah.
So, of course, Huth had one of his classic games where he didn't get his head on it. Like, he got his shoulder on a few set pieces or just was just standing on the 18-yard line for some inexplicable reason.
I've had a couple, for whatever reason this season, I had Martin Skrtel maybe around, like, the 10 to 20-week mark. I did get a goal from him once, although it wasn't – I don't actually think it was off a corner. It was like a – I don't know. He was like from 10 yards out. It was not with his head. It was with his foot, I remember. But I remember, yeah, for some reason, I had all these matches where I think it's because they were in the Europa League, but it came down to it would be a Sunday and I would need Martin Skrtel to get like 15 points for me to win my head to head. And so I'm just watching these matches super close. And I think the one time he scored a goal, I actually did win the head to head.
It is really the most soul destroying activity is to watch a game needing a defender to score a goal. Like the only thing less likely is for your goalkeeper to get a penalty save.
Yeah, so exactly.
It's just a truly withering 90 minutes.
It really is. Yeah, it never works out. Except this week, where both of us picked up some points from our defenders.
Yeah, so I mean, Aaron Cresswell from my defense was once again the weak link. I mean, I keep waiting for Cresswell to do something, but yeah, he was the one weak link in my team. I guess save Dele Alli, and I ended up with 70 points thanks to that Huth bonus point. Yeah, so I'm happy with that. I got green arrows.
Yep, me too. I picked up 74 points in the week. Very respectable score. You know, it's kind of like as the season goes on, I don't even really look at the average. The average this week was 47 points, but I think that number it tends to be a little lower than it really is because you hit the 32 week mark, and just a lot of people. There are a lot of dead teams out there. A lot of people have just given up, or they're too far down. They're not taking the game, you know, seriously anymore. I actually joked about that on Twitter because Kolarov scored a goal in like the 91st minute. Yeah. And I was like, what a great goal for the dead teams out there. Because if you're playing seriously, you can't have Kolarov right now. Actually, that's funny because I think Garrett Meld actually has Kolarov, who's in first place in the Hail Cheaters League. But in general, you're not playing Kolarov at the moment.
No, not at all. I mean, that was such a vintage Kolarov goal, though. It was really
so
awesome. It
ended up being a pretty, so 74 points. My climb back into respectability continues. I actually picked up another 100,000 points. So I think I have gained almost 800,000 spots. I've jumped 800,000 spots in the last five game weeks.
It's Chelsea-esque. I mean, I think we compared you to Chelsea earlier in the season because you had a great time in the FPL last season, and then you really struggled at the start. But here you are climbing up into the top half of the table.
I know, and it's like there are these times when I sit around and think, if I hadn't been so stubborn, if I just brought in Mesut Ozil in week 10 or something, you know, like it would have made all the difference. But you know, you can't. I was very stubborn at the start of the season. You know, I was very committed to Eden Hazard. I was sort of committed to the players who did really well last year, and I was just a little too stubborn about even someone like Jamie Vardy. I just waited a little too long on, and it's just a reminder. You know, you look now. I mean, we still have 6 weeks left in the season, and you know, it was like these decisions I was making in week 7, like, oh, I can't have Vardy. I need a differential. It's like, no, you don't. You know, the season is so long. Just bring in the best players at the start and don't try to be the most clever person. You know, just like, I don't know. So it was a weird start of the season because you had so many people who, so many players who were performing week in and week out who you wouldn't expect that from. I mean, you know, Odion Ighalo and Jamie Vardy are kind of the two best examples. I mean, you could say that Mahrez
even
Mahrez, although he was pretty good last year. And he was great value from the start.
Well, I guess that's just like Leicester writ large. People were sort of waiting for that to tail off. I'm not casting any aspersions on particular players, but it's true. It was the first half of the season was everybody sort of waiting for certain balloons to deflate.
Yeah.
And they never did. But
the Ighalo balloon is now like on the ground and people are like walking over it. It's like,
or it's like parade. One of those like foil Mylar balloons that's stuck up in a tree somewhere.
Poor Ighalo. Do you see he got subbed at the 45 minute mark?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's sad.
It is sad, especially when you're me praying for Watford to even put a shot on goal.
I would actually
against Arsenal and take that clean sheet away from you.
I would actually love, and we'll get into the double game weeks in a moment, but I would actually love for Ighalo to come back into form because it'd be really fun to have a cheap differential striker going into these double game weeks because Watford, they have two double game weeks coming up and they're both actually pretty good double game weeks. I actually don't think you can really take a chance on them right now. Because their form is so bad. I mean, offensively or defensively.
They're on the beach, as they say.
Yeah, they are a little bit. Okay, so before we get into this, Brandon, let's get into the Hail Cheater Super League.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, it's the most Super League around. We've got some new entrants into the top 10 this week.
We do. We have two new entrants. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm scanning the names, and I see two that I immediately don't recognize.
So let's go right through it. Guillaume Meld, Isle of Dumbumbu in first, holding on, pretty strong. It's bunched up at the top, but he has a 7-point lead on Mohamed Al-Qiassi. The Kolarov goal was the difference in that match.
Yeah.
Or in that head-to-head.
Just like old times.
It's not really head-to-head, though. Yeah, I doubt Mohamed Al-Qiassi and Guillaume Meld know each other. But it'd be cool if they did. It'd be cool if those guys were like just like best of friends and they're like, how cool is this? We're the best friends in the world and we're also in first and second place.
Are you suggesting that there's collusion at the top of the Hail Cheaters Super League? Because that is a very controversial thing to say.
How would you even collude? Like, I think if you and I tried to collude, it would not work.
Like, no, it wouldn't. You're right. Yeah. It wouldn't. So long as I got a whole control of the immunity idol, maybe we could make it work.
So Guillaume Meld and his closest friend, Mohamed Al-Qiassi, are in second place. Owen O'Keefe is in third place. Adrian Magnussen, who is, I believe, a new entry into the top 10, because that name is just not ringing a bell for me at all.
Well, I don't know. But Adrian here, he comes in with 92 points. So it may be that Adrian was just hovering in the, like, 25-place range. And with a big 92, I mean, he's the highest scorer on, you know, either side of him by almost 30 points.
Yeah, that's true. So
whoever you are, Adrian, you had a great week. Good for you.
Yeah, and if you've been in the top 10 all year and we're just forgetting, apologies for that as well. It's been a couple weeks since we last podcast. We're a little, you know, we're kind of rounding ourselves back into form here. We're not quite in, you know, we're not fully fit yet.
No, we're not.
We'd have a yellow flag that says fitness next to our names.
I'm Peter Cech massaging his calf muscle before that Watford game.
Melvin United, Melvin Mbazi is in fifth. Kaiser Berslauten, Leith Kassab is in
sixth.
Well
done. Nice pronunciation.
Yeah, I worked on that one. Gamchester United, Graham McDonald in seventh, who I believe has a question on the question for us later. Stone Cold Stunners, Mark Johnson is in eighth. Dare to Zlatan, Chris Morin is in ninth. And Gutfeel, Ron Kane, a new entrant in the top 10, Gutfeel, is in 10th. Racked up 88 points this week, did Ron Kane.
I love that name, Ron Kane. He sounds like he should be like a professional heavyweight boxer or something like that. Ron Kane.
Or a character on Parks and Rec.
Yeah, Ron Kane. Like, I like it.
Ron Swanson, yeah. So, congrats to all the people in the top 10. I have been shooting up. So, I have been moving up the ranks in the Hail Cheater Super League, but it is slow going.
Very slow going. I think I've moved up maybe three places in the last, 2 months.
I think I've moved up. I mean, I've moved up like a whole page, I think. Uh-huh. But that still puts me in the 200s. I mean, it's not my finest showing, I'll say that much.
I finally cracked the top 190 this week. So.
Oh, nice, nice.
Hey, and a quick
that's like when you celebrated when you got in the top 10,000 in the U.S.
Yeah, I was just going to give a quick update to all of our American listeners. I'm now sitting 5,936th place in the United States.
All right, that's not bad. I mean, that's like, I mean, I still wouldn't brag about that. I think you got to get in the top. I mean, I finished in the top 100 in the U.S. last year. So, like, you got to get in the top, like, you got to get in the top 1,000 at least. Before
you can man, I didn't think you were going to get very serious about it. I'm just trying to have a laugh.
Mm-hmm. That's what they always say.
And then you're always like, well, top 100, no big deal.
It's never good enough.
Were you brushing the dust off your shoulders when you said that?
Yeah, I was. Just shake it off. All right, Brandon, let's get right into it. So we're gonna do a slightly different format this week. I mean, the thing is, we've got this crazy series of events that are about to happen. They got a little bit crazier, actually, when Everton and Crystal Palace picked up a double game week in game week 33. So you have three double game weeks in the next 5 weeks, and you have these chips that no one's ever used before. You have wild cards that most people have never had this late in the season. You can't use the chips and the wild card in the same week. Yeah. It's unclear when you should triple captain and when you should all out attack. There's just a lot of different questions to debate, and so we're going to get right into it. But what we're going to do is, We're gonna debate the key questions from that sort of rose out of game week 32 and how they what they tell us about the weeks to come, and then after that we'll get into questions from Facebook and Twitter, most of which are about game week strategy and chips and options and things like that. So
Josh, I have studied the most complex
Yes.
This is the most complicated thing I have ever tried to grapple with.
I agree, and I do like it. I'm slightly worried that a template is starting to take shape, which I really don't want to happen. I think this is not the time for a template. This is
podcasts like ours and the countless message boards and forums are really the only way to get through this nine month long season, that camaraderie or bouncing ideas off one another.
Right.
But we're also contributing to these templates because everyone out there has these great ideas. And you're like, oh, cool. I'll do that too, because that makes perfect sense.
This is true.
Just imagine if we were all setting our teams in a vacuum, would they all still look as similar as they do now?
They might. It's hard to say. And sometimes what seems like a template really isn't. I mean, I remember when I brought in Gylfi Sigurdsson maybe 4 weeks ago or so, I sort of like threw up my hands like, oh, sure, I'm going to bring in Gylfi. You know, he's I'm bringing in the template midfielder. And then you look and he's owned by like 2.3% of managers, you know, and it's just like you happen to see three people on Facebook or Twitter that were talking about him and you're like, oh, everybody's got him. You know,
yeah, so that is true.
Yeah. I do think there, as we'll get into it, start to talk about this, and both of us are wildcarding right now. There are certain players that it's just very hard not to have them on your team, especially when they're cheap. Like I think the player that comes to mind immediately is Joel Robles, the goalkeeper for Everton. 4.5 million keeper, three double game weeks coming up in the next 6 weeks. It's just hard to get that kind of value. And so I feel like he's going to show up on most people's teams because it's just such an obvious fit.
Obvious is putting it a little strong, I think.
Not obvious, but obvious when you start to put your team together, you know?
Yeah, right.
So let's get right into it. Okay. So we've got five questions that came out of Game Week 32. All right.
Okay.
The first question is, it's actually a Liverpool question. I'm saying this like I didn't write these questions, by the way. I did write these questions.
Okay. I was going to ask you, where do these questions come from?
So Liverpool has an interesting run of fixtures coming up. They may not have the best double game weeks, but they do have two of them, and they have arguably the best game week 35, which is a home match to Newcastle. So I think a lot of people are looking at Newcastle or Liverpool to bring at least one Liverpool player, if not two. And I think I may only end up with one Liverpool player because I just don't trust that defense at all. And I'm not sure that there's room in my midfield and forward lines for two Liverpool players.
Right.
So the question is, if you bring in one Liverpool player, do you bring in Coutinho or do you risk Firmino? I guess I'm framing this as a question to you, Brandon.
Yeah, well, the way I'm approaching that, I'm in my active wild card right now. Mm-hmm. I am choosing to sort of leave room in my midfield budget. Like I'll have a placeholder player that I would play in game week 33. It's based on game week 33. I'll make a game time decision for game week 34. That and a Liverpool midfielder could be my transfer. Going into game week 34. So I'm kind of like waiting to see.
Okay. Gotcha. You're waiting to see. I mean,
because my concern, like you, is the Firmino injury going to prevent him from getting valuable minutes in that double game week?
Right.
And of course, will Coutinho get a red card as he's wont to do?
Yeah. And is it over for Coutinho now too? I mean, he sort of famously has these three game stretches where he's fantastic, and then he disappears for 10 weeks.
Yeah.
And he's had two good games in a row. So he's kind of due for one more game, and then he's going to fall off again. And yeah. As someone who captained Coutinho in a double game week last season, an unsuccessful captaincy, I am definitely – like it's still like in the back of my mind a little bit. But Coutinho can really let you down. I mean he's a strange player, you know? I mean he just drifts in and out of matches a little bit. I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about Firmino, or at least you could for the first half of the season.
I think Liverpool is tricky for these double game weeks, too, in that usually in a double game week, one of the most valued assets would be like a locked-in defender.
Yeah.
Maybe you're going to get a couple clean sheets. Of course, we know Liverpool has a terrible defense.
Right.
And there is a little bit of rotation and injury happening in that back line as well. And then the other marquee player, I think, for Liverpool attacking is Daniel Sturridge. And there are also so many other strikers, like great double game week strikers to choose from. And with so many matches coming up for Liverpool, you don't know if Sturridge is going to get injured or get rotated. He's so risky. But he could.
It's interesting you say that because I actually don't think there are a lot of great double game week strikers. I think that the double game week players, outside of Lukaku maybe, the double game week players in general that I'm looking at to captain are almost all midfielders.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair play.
Get into that in a minute here.
Yeah.
So I think it is important to remember that you don't have to stop making transfers once you do your wild card. So you wild card for game week 33 and you're going to actually get four more. So like let's say you wild card into game week 33 and you're planning to triple captain in game week 34. You have 4 weeks or four different transfers that you can make before game week 37.
Yeah.
So So I think one thing that's important to keep in mind, or at least like it's something to solve in your head before you make your, as you're sort of playing your wild card, is are you going to triple captain in game week 34? Are you going to play your bench boost? And if you are planning to triple captain, then you don't need a team full of double game week players, because you're going to have 4 game weeks leading up into game week 37 where you can load up on all these players.
Right.
So you can just put together the best team, you know, for the double game week. I mean, you can still have 11 double game week players if you want, but it doesn't have to be the full, you know, bench worth.
Right.
Especially because a lot of teams don't have game week 35s.
Yeah.
So so it's just it is a little tricky, I think. And I think there's a lot of considerations that have to be made. I'm definitely leaning towards a game week 34 triple captain, but we'll get into that in a moment.
Yeah, the last thing to consider for me about the Liverpool Coutinho Firmino conundrum is their game against Dortmund in the Europa League this Thursday, and you know, we may not know more after that, but you know, maybe every player on Liverpool will come up injured after that game, and then that'll solve that problem for us.
that would make things a little bit easier. They're not playing for anything in the Premier League anyway. Okay, my feeling is I just to put a button on this. I really would like to risk Firmino. I want to bring in Firmino. He's someone I would consider triple captaining. But I guess I just need to know that he's going to start. So, you know, like you, I mean, I think it's still up in the air, and hopefully we'll know more. I mean, if he plays at Dortmund, then I'm definitely feeling good about bringing him in.
Right. And you're looking to triple captain. If you would, that would be more for game week 34 as opposed to 37.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards game week 34, triple captain, game week 37, all out attack, or bench boost.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right.
Okay. So, second question. And this one's this is more of a small question. Alex Iwobi, 4.5 million in consecutive 8-point game weeks. Is he worth a look?
I like the value there, and that's sort of we're all looking for double game week players that can slot in and fill a budget position. And Arsenal, definitely you need to have 3 Arsenal players going into game week 34 because, you know, they play in game week 35. They've got a really enticing double. But my issue with Iwobi is, I mean, beyond the fact that he probably isn't, at least in our minds, nailed on, is you've got Alexis Sanchez, who's probably a must-have, and Arsenal defense seems like a no-brainer to double up on going into these doubles.
Yeah, I mean, I've almost
taken Iwobi out of the equation just on that basis.
Yeah, I mean, the question is, I think you could construct a team that has Ozil and Sanchez. I think that's a possible option.
Sure.
It's very tricky, and part of it too is, you know, we were g-chatting about this earlier today. It would just be so much easier if I just got rid of Aguero. If I just bite the bullet and get rid of Aguero, I would have so much money. I mean, all of these tricky decisions would be so much easier.
Yeah, it's a thorn in everyone's side right now, I assume. And if we were also talking about this on g-chat, but if Aguero doesn't have the double in game week 34, everyone's dropping him immediately, like in a heartbeat, he's gone.
Absolutely, and even the double is kind of it's an okay double. I mean, it's not great. I mean, I know that it's a way to Newcastle in one of those matches, but you know, Newcastle have a ton to play for right now, and that match away to Chelsea is not a good match for him at all. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Chelsea kept a clean sheet in that match.
Right, as City's away form has been the bane of their existence this season, and that's where they've lost all their points. So I would subscribe to that theory.
Yeah, I mean, it would be incredibly nerve-wracking to go into a double game week without Sergio Aguero.
Yeah.
But I may end up doing it. I mean, I don't have that much to lose, really, as part of it. You know, I mean, I don't know. So we'll see. It's kind of a tricky one. So I think I'm kind of with you on Iwobi. Actually, my current wildcard team actually does have 2 Arsenal defenders. But if it comes to pass that I want to, you know, take a risk on a Liverpool defender or something like that, and I have an extra spot. I currently have Anders Lindgaard in my team, and he's 4.2 million.
Yeah.
And I think I'd have enough money that I can move Lindgaard into Iwobi. And I mean, that would be my preference, but it's not clear if he's going to start every match either. I mean, You know, scoring two consecutive matches, I think he's probably nailed on for at least a couple matches.
Right.
But at some point, you know, Theo Walcott's going to be, he's going to get in, you know, and in a double game week would be the perfect time to start Walcott in one match and Obi in the other.
Yeah, I agree. And Arsenal, I think they're just the team not to mess around with in your team right now, because that's where so many points I predict will come from in these doubles.
Okay, question number three of five. How many, if any, Spurs and Leicester players will you hold? And it's actually a question we got from Scott Gill, too. He said, is it time to get rid of Spurs and Leicester players now? And also, any keepers you recommend, given all the injuries? We're going to ignore his second question. just concentrate on the first. I am planning to hold probably two players total between Spurs and Leicester.
Okay.
I'm planning to hold Kane, at least for the time being.
Yeah.
And Schmeichel. And the thing about Schmeichel is I think I'm just gonna commit myself to Robles as my double game week keeper and just start him in all those double game weeks. And then Schmeichel has a great game week 35, where he is they host Swansea at home. And I think there's an excellent chance of a clean sheet there. So I don't know, that's where I'm leaning right now is hold on to Schmeichel.
Yeah, I'm similar. I'm still stuck on Mahrez because Mahrez being the MVP of the season.
Oh, right. Oh, sorry. Yeah, and Mahrez. I'm sorry. So I guess I'm actually keeping three because I'm planning to keep Mahrez too.
Yeah, Mahrez is just such like a no-brainer at this point. That's how you forgot him.
I mean, people lose their minds over double game weeks, and there are a lot of times where you bring in a guy for a double game week and, you know, in both matches, the other team scores a goal and they don't do anything and they get 4 points.
Right.
You know, and Mahrez is capable of scoring anywhere between 10 and 15 points in every single match, I mean, right, regardless of the opponent. So, and also, he's such great value. I mean, to sell him, I would be losing so much money.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd lose over $1 million in team value.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. Dele Alli and Eric Dyer did not survive my initial wild card. They're both out, so I'm just left with Harry Kane. And Harry Kane is, he's not... Okay, so then if you look at Leicester, somebody had to go for Lukaku, right? Like, it's a Lukaku bonanza going into game week 33. Who can get Lukaku fast enough before he shoots up to 14 million?
Right.
So ultimately, Vardy just has to take the hit. Though, you have to really like how Vardy's chances of getting some points against Sunderland going into game week 33.
I know. And could Lukaku have looked any worse in that match?
Well,
he
just didn't touch the ball ever.
Yeah.
That Everton team looked so ragged. I mean, Jagielka had
the majority of their shots.
But yeah, now I'm with you. Huthi and Mahrez look like they're going to be safe. And Kane, he's just expensive enough where you start to daydream about what you could do if you dropped him. And Spurs, they play in game week 35, which is so clutch. You can't forget about what players you're going
to
have.
Home to West Brom, too, which is a great fixture for Kane.
Yeah. But they're... there are other fixtures. They just have tough fixtures coming up where you could see other strikers coming in and doing.
But I mean, you just look at his recent results. I mean, you know, 13 points, 16 points, 8 points. You know, go back a couple more weeks and he has a 13 point match and a 10 point game. I mean, just consistent double figure hauls from Kane. And
this is exactly what I was going to say. He's the most informed striker in the league.
Exactly. Like, your dream would be to bring in a striker who gets 13 points or 16 points over two game weeks.
Yeah.
You know,
he'll score a hat trick against United if he wants to.
Exactly. So, I'm leaning towards Kane right now. I could see a situation where I end up dropping Kane. And I actually still have Ellie on my wildcard team for some reason, but I don't think he's going to make it all the way to Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of people who are absent, if you're looking at that Liverpool game, Dele Alli did not impress any. Well, he did not make an impression.
I couldn't believe he didn't get a yellow card.
Yeah, he's got up to his own villainous tricks.
Yeah. All right, that brings us to question four. What to do with Sergio Aguero, Man City players in general?
I mean, this... This to me is the most aggravating question because...
See, I know these are good questions, by the way, because every time I ask you one, you say, ugh, immediately.
I don't want to face any of these questions because they're so goddamn difficult. So David Silva finally gets an assist for me against Bournemouth. And great of course, assist. Yeah, fantastic assist.
I mean, one of the best assists of the year, I would say. I mean, it was so perfect.
Yeah, a nice little pirouette, one touch, right, like inch perfect to KDB. And with KDB back in the squad, of course, Silva is going to benefit from that. And Man City is a game week 35 team. So they've got a double on 34, and then they play on 35. So that's fantastic. That's exactly what you want. But then I'm sizing up David Silva in my midfield and for what I think I'm probably going to get from him for how much he costs. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's all hitting at once. The wild cards, the double game weeks, and then, of course, all of these big midfield players, all these really expensive guys start coming into form.
I know. Thanks a lot, Sanchez.
Yeah, and Kevin De Bruyne. Finally into form. Yeah, so I just don't know how. I mean, my wish list is so big, from the Coutinhos and Firminos to the Sanchez's and Ozils to KDB and all this. So right now it's looking like I can only afford to have one Manchester City attacking player. So is it going to be a KDB or a Silva, or is it going to be Aguero?
Yeah, so my situation is similar. It's tempting to bring in KDB, although, you know, still coming back from an injury, and he didn't play the full 90, which didn't surprise me because they have a Champions League fixture this week. I think, it's possible that I actually just don't have a Man City player coming out of my wild card.
Right.
I still have Aguero on my team right now, and part of it is he's picked up a lot of value since I've had him on my team, and so I don't want to just rush off and drop him because if I change my mind, I want to bring him back in. I've lost, like 0.4 million in value or something like that. So it's a very tricky decision because if you turn Sergio Aguero into like someone like Danny Welbeck, maybe, or I guess if you want to take a huge risk, Gallo, or I don't even just like another striker,
right.
You could look at,
Oh, got to get that Rondon.
I mean, even if you turned him into Daniel Sturridge and took a kind of mild risk,
you
pick up 3 million more.
Anthony Martial, I think, is also looking good with these really exquisite home matches for Manchester United.
That's a great point. I hadn't really thought about Martial, to be honest. that is very tempting.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of discussion and anxiety about what the United rotation is going to look like now that Wayne Rooney is healthy.
Well, how healthy is he? I mean, did he even make the 18 for this match?
Well, I think he hasn't eaten a bacon double cheeseburger in a couple of weeks.
He did not look quite as rune piggy as he sometimes does.
Did you see him in the stands? He was wearing his classic Manchester United suit, and he's sitting next to some Russell Brand wannabe wearing a leather jacket.
I think it was Skrillex that he was sitting next to.
what a wonderful friend group Wayne Rooney must have.
So I am leaning towards dropping Aguero. I mean, this whole season has been like a referendum on what to do about Aguero. I mean, it's the most boring conversation.
It's the great pumpkin conversation.
It is. And I think I'm going to go without Aguero. And we'll see if I actually have the guts to drop him, because it's a huge decision.
It is. I mean, that has been the other part of that theme this season is it's all fear with Aguero this season.
I know.
Major returns.
I hate playing that way. So
you have to be like our good friend Ron Kane and go with your gut feel.
There you go. All right. Final question. And the question is, and we actually have three different people who asked us this question. So the question is, how many Everton Crystal Palace players are you picking up in game week 33? Matthew Greco, Get Noise on Twitter. Says, I'm all in on Palace this week. Hennessy, Delaney, and Bolasie. Why not? And then there's two question marks, two exclamation points. Yes. It's time to have some fun.
Agreed,
I like it,
man. Agreed. Yeah. I mean, if there's only one way to answer that question, I'd be like, yes, it is time to have some fun.
It's like that time when you and I went to Benny's Burritos.
Yeah. Classic story. Now, I'll tell the short version. We basically went to some really no character Mexican restaurant in New York City, and it was in the middle of the day.
We were trying to go to a fancier restaurant. We couldn't get into it.
So here we are. We're just getting like free chips and salsa and a couple margaritas, and the waiter comes over to us and he says, "Hey, are you guys having fun?" And we just looked at each other and we agreed. Yeah, we were having a great time.
But the thing is, we answered at the same time with the most earnest. It was like, you never do this in a New York restaurant. You're like, everything is always so cool. You know, everything is very, you never like, all those were like, yeah, yes, we are.
So yeah, I think Matthew, you need to play like you're eating lunch at Benny's Burritos.
Yeah,
you need to have some fun.
Yeah, you've got to play like you're. Yeah, it's like, was it like love like you've never been hurt? Play play fantasy like you're eating at Benny's Burritos.
All right, who else asked us about this Everton Crystal Palace conundrum?
All right, Graham McDonald said, "Are there any Palace players worth getting in?" And then Richard Orford had a very nice tweet to us. He says, "Hey guys, love the pod. Question: am I insane for bringing in 3 Crystal Palace players and 3 Everton players on my wild card for their double in game week 33? Should add, I'd then be dropping 2 Crystal Palace players on the bench for game week 34. His current 6 is Lukaku, Lennon, Jagielka, Dan, Bolasie, and Kabay. So, okay, so to get back to the original question, game week 33, the only double game week, kind of a unique opportunity to, you know, because everyone's wild carding, so it's this great. It's like, it's very tempting to just pick up 6 players, you know.
Yeah,
and just really go for it. But I think there's a lot to consider here. I think the biggest thing to consider is the form of Crystal Palace. I mean, whether there's really anybody you can pick up on that team. I mean,
it's really rough. Yeah, like at one side of the coin, you say, Matthew, have some fun, do it. The other side, I say, Richard, yes, you're insane. You're totally insane.
I think 4 is the right level. I think 3 Everton players and 1 Crystal Palace player is what I'm comfortable with.
Yeah, and even so, looking at how Everton has performed, granted against 2 pretty strong informed teams, Arsenal and United, in their last 2 game weeks, they've not looked very good at all. I'm feeling a little uncomfortable having 3 Everton players. But that said, the value that you're going to get from Everton over the next 2 weeks, it's like Harry Kane's playing 2 games for 4 games for every Everton player. So it's almost down to a math problem with Everton.
I don't even think I understood what you just said there. I wouldn't.
Okay, so you take 3 Everton players, and over the course of the next 2 game weeks, they'll have 4 games, right?
So my current wildcard team has Robles, Jagielka, and Lukaku.
Yeah. I have the great benefit of sitting on a 1 Wayne Hennessy, completely worthless fantasy asset. But here he is, locked and loaded for game week 33. And I'll tell you what, if I wasn't wildcarding right now, I'm pretty sure I'd be playing my triple captain with Lukaku going into week 33. So, I mean, I think a few other people have floated that. And
this is really, I mean, yeah, the keeper thing is really tricky because there's every reason to think that the Crystal Palace will concede goals in both their matches. They host Norwich and they host Everton. I mean, Norwich are actually in pretty good form at the moment. I mean, our boy Mbakani is a scoring machine right now.
that goal was a goal worthy of always cheating. Absolutely. What a total legend Mbakani is.
I can't imagine what would happen if Poku ever did anything good for NYCFC, because when Mbakani does anything good, it's like everyone who follows us on Twitter like loves it. Like we get like so many. I love it. I love it too.
Hey, you know, yeah. I live for good. If anybody stuff. Loves it, it's us. Well, I don't think. Well, hopefully Norwich doesn't go down. If you're a Norwich fan, but if they go down, Alex Neil is to blame for not playing Mbakani over Cameron Jerome until now.
I know. I mean, 5 goals in the season for Mbakani, and it should have been, it should be 50, really. He should have 10 times the number of goals he scores.
He's also a scorer of great goals, like that goal this weekend, his backheel goal like a month ago.
He should have won the Golden Boot twice this year.
Twice over.
Twice over, exactly. He should have scored 50 goals, given 25 goals to charity, and he still would have won the Golden Boot this year.
It's incredible.
So I'm planning to have I'm thinking about just going all in and going with the two defender Everton, which is insane, by the way, because Everton's defense has been yeah. It's been no shakes. I mean, you know, I'm looking at Jagielka right now. It's 1.1.2 points in the last
few
games.
But the like I was saying, with the number of fixtures and Jags, he's their captain. He's locked on.
He is their captain. That's why I have him, because he's locked in.
He will play all of those games, and even if he gets one pointers, that's still a 4-point haul. That's more than you got from Ashley Williams this past weekend.
All right, so Crystal Palace, gun to your head, you have to pick one player, and you can't pick the defender. You can't pick any of their famous goal scoring defenders, or you can't pick Hennessy. You got to pick a midfielder or a forward. Who do you pick?
I suppose it's Bolasie. I mean, he's the one with the most potential. And, you know, we remember his really streaky form from last season. But when he was on, he was going to get you a hat trick.
Yeah. It's, yeah, I mean.
And Crystal Palace nice. At home. Norwich, of course, is in form. And this is going to be a really hotly contested match. And I wonder if it's such a relegation scrap that it's going to be a more open game and a more free scoring game, which
wouldn't
favor the defenders.
What game week do you think Johan Gabay last scored a goal? We just had to pick, to guess.
I would guess game week 13.
Game week 16.
Oh, okay. I was underselling the poor man.
What game week do you think he last had an assist?
Last had an assist, Johan Kabab.
32 weeks into the season.
Okay. How about game week 8?
Game week 8 it is. Did you look that up?
Nice.
Wow. Nice
no, game. I didn't. That was off the dome, man.
First of all, how does someone like Johan Kabab go 24 weeks without an assist?
Well, and I know he's coached by one of the biggest insane. Losers in the entire league.
I suppose you're right.
just to come out there and say it.
So the thing is, there is a bit of a there's a bit of an Alan Pardew arc over the years. You know, he kind of he starts really strong, and then he has this kind of Arsene Wenger type swoon for about, you know, I don't know, 20 weeks or so, and then like right when they're about to get relegated or it looks like all is lost, he kind of rights the ship, you know, and they win like 3 or 4, you know, right down the stretch. So maybe we're in that moment, in that riding the ship moment, you know. And I could see, you know, I mean, the midfielders are so cheap that, you know, you could take a risk in any one of them. I mean, and it's not going to like upend your team, you know. I mean, you could bring in someone like, you know, Will. I mean, I guess I wouldn't bring in Zaha because he's not a guaranteed starter. But I mean, Kabay, assuming he's healthy, he didn't actually play last game week.
Dwight Gale came in as a sub, right?
Yeah, he did. He did come in as a sub. I mean, he scored, so he probably will start the next match.
Yeah.
But it's you know, he's a forward, and it's harder to find room in your forward line. If you were coded as a midfielder, I think he'd be kind of tempting. So I mean, Punchin, maybe, you know, he did play the full 90. It's just tough. I mean, they are home to Norwich too, so I think bringing in one Crystal Palace defender is the way to go. I mean, you know, you have Hennessy already. I'm thinking, you know, I have Daniel Delaney in my team right now.
Yeah, I love
Damian Delaney.
I always think of the American actress Dana Delaney whenever somebody says his name.
Yeah, I think that's why I said Daniel, actually.
Yeah, exactly. You're thinking of Dana Delaney.
Okay, so let's. I don't know if we've really answered any of these questions, but at least we've.
I guess my last thought is that Norwich game. That Crystal Palace is hosting Norwich is enough of a question mark in a positive way for Crystal Palace that I would say it's worth a punt.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the whole point of all these questions is that they're all tough questions. You just have to, you know, there are no guarantees.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot of decision fatigue, I think, out there on the forums, where I'm starting to see comments of people just saying, like, you know what, there is no right answer.
I think that's part of it, but I wonder sometimes when people bring up the template, I think sometimes people want the template because of this decision fatigue. You're like, oh, just someone let me know who I'm supposed to bring in.
Because, like, for God's sake, I have a life.
Exactly. I'm planning a wedding, damn it.
All right, Josh. So we answered some very difficult questions there that you yourself came up with, with the help of some of our listeners. But let's just jump into other questions we got from our listeners on Twitter and Facebook. And of course, you know, you can keep the conversation going with us on Twitter if you hit us up at Hail Cheaters, or our Facebook page is always cheating. So the first question, which I just saw this like 5 minutes before we started podcasting. So let's see if I can read it correctly. It's fantastic. It's from Mark Johnson. He says, what are your thoughts on the way to use your wild card? Are you looking for a complete set of shiny new Force Awakens Star Wars action figures? Or will you keep your Empire Strikes Back Han Solo and Princess Leia from Return of the Jedi? I can only assume Mark is talking about the gold bikini. but replace some of the old broken down Ewoks with Rey, Finn, Kylo Ren, Poe Dameron, and company to make playtime more exciting for the next few weeks.
Okay.
Mark's definitely speaking my language. I grew up with these action figures and the mixing and matching there.
I was more of a G.I. Joe guy, but I catch his drift.
that actually explains a lot about our relationship.
It does.
Truthfully.
That's why you still play video games and I'm a four-star general.
Yo, Joe.
So I think... It is a little tricky. I think the player that I mean, you could almost say are, you know, if you remove the logic from it, are there, you know, part of it is, are there any players you're kind of sentimental about keeping? Yeah. I'm a little sentimental about Mahrez, although it's sentiment and rationality. I mean, I think there's, as we said earlier in the podcast, there's just a reason to have Mahrez because he's so – he actually had a pretty poor game week at Southampton, one of the worst games of the season, I think. But in general, I mean, he's always capable of scoring, and if he scores, he typically picks up bonus points. So, you know, he's the one player that I'm definitely planning to hold on to. I'm a little, you know, Schmeichel is the only guy I've had the whole year. Yeah. And so I'm a little sentimental about getting rid of him, I have to say.
Right.
Not so sentimental that I won't drop him if I find a better player to bring in. But just, you know, I've been writing these Leicester clean sheets for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks in a row, however long it's been, all these 1-0 games. You know, you can't discount that. I mean, because, you know, you can bring in a goalkeeper for these double game weeks and they concede one goal in both matches and they pick up 4 points.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe they only get, you know, let's say they get 2 saves in each match. Like, that's it. You know, they're 4 points. You're better off just holding on to Schmeichel and trying to get a clean sheet in their one match.
I will extend the Mark's metaphor a little farther here and say, if somebody told you when you were a kid, all you have to do is get rid of your current set of action figures and you can go have a shopping spree and get as many toys as you want from the local store. I think most of us would just, the sheer joy of just going into the store and being able to pick whatever you want.
Yeah, it's true.
But then now
when you put it that way, yes.
But you have to be practical, like, because you have a budget, you can't actually buy any FPL player you want. And I almost feel like I have to go into my wild card with no sentimentality whatsoever, because then that will prohibit me from affording the players I'm going to need going into these double gaming. So I'm definitely erring more on the Force Awakens side of this argument.
By the way, have you read, there's a story on the website, the AV Club, about profiling all of these people who, like, in the 90s went on these Nickelodeon shopping sprees?
No, that sounds amazing.
It was amazing. So, you know, in America, when you were a kid, there was, Nickelodeon had these things, these shopping sprees where... I can't remember, you had to like send in something or call this number. I can't, somehow like people were randomly picked to go into Toys R Us and they had 5 minutes to pick up as many toys as they could fit in their shopping cart. And I think you could even fill up a cart, like put it aside and like, I mean, you just had to like just drop things into a cart, like run around and drop things into a cart.
Just the result of a grotesque capitalist, wildly successful capitalist society.
I know. And even reading it now, I was like, it's all such junk, but oh, like how exciting would that be? You know? Oh,
without a doubt.
What would that store be for you today? If someone said you could get a shopping spree in any store, any kind of store in the world, what would you pick?
Wow. I mean, that's a complex question in this modern age where we do all of our shopping online. I don't know. Maybe like Brooks Brothers or something like that.
Oh, Brooks Brothers is pretty good. I was thinking like Whole Foods. I was going really humble.
I just want some. I want as much hummus as I can eat and a lot of Alaskan salmon.
It's only going to last like a week, though, right? Yeah, maybe like Costco. You can pick up like TVs and stuff at Costco.
Oh my God, you could get 5 billion cheese balls at Costco.
You would never suffer for a lack of pre-bought popped popcorn again.
Yeah, you would own every James Patterson novel ever published. That's actually a good. Let's go with Costco.
All right, with Costco it is. All right, Aaron Lundberg says, "Hey guys, what do you think about Sanchez as a triple captain in game week 34?" And this, Brandon, leads us to our newest feature. It's a one-time feature.
Is that, I feel like there's a sound effect like pew, pew, pew. Here we are, double Jeopardy.
Brandon and I have both picked our top three triple captain options, and we have not told each other what these are. And let's each go through them one at a time, Brandon. So
okay.
I'll do my I have them ranked 1 to 3, yep. And I'll start with my third one. Okay.
Okay.
And that so is
your least likely.
My least likely of the three that I've gone through the fixtures, and I hadn't really thought about Martial, and you know when you brought him up, that it's sort of tempting, but I don't know if I could really trust Anthony Martial with a triple captaincy.
No, you just don't have the guts.
I don't have the gumption. Number three for me is Payet, and that is he has 2 double game weeks, but the one that I would pick would be game week 37, where they play Swansea and Man United at home.
Yeah, I felt pressured to pick at least one. I mean, the more tempting triple captain fixtures are in game week 34. If I felt pressured to pick one triple captain from game week 37, of course, the eye just goes to these two home fixtures for West Ham. I think Man United, their defense is obviously one of their best features, but Payet has got to be that game week 37 triple captain shout.
Yep, I agree. So we both have the same number three.
Yeah, we're in agreement there.
Okay, maybe we'll be the same all the way up. My number two is Firmino in game week 34, away to Bournemouth and home to Everton.
Okay, I think that one is a little risky. I'm kind of surprised at that one, actually. First, given that we don't really know what Firmino's form is because he's coming back from injury and how Klopp is going to bring him back into the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, given how many games that Liverpool have.
Okay, here's my rationale is that Liverpool, I don't think he'll play in the Europa League match. I think that Liverpool is... No, not Liverpool. Well, Liverpool it can be an explosive offensive team, but Firmino in particular is an explosive offensive player. And if I'm going to play the triple captain, I want a player who could possibly pick up like 30 points over 2 game weeks. You know, just like I want a huge number. And I just think that someone like Firmino is capable of that because he's so streaky. And if you get him in the right time, it's kind of hard to even pick when he's going to score. But if you got him at the right time, you could absolutely have a 2-game stretch where he picks up like 4 goals and 2 assists.
Yeah. My second choice is actually Anthony Martial, because I'm just looking at game week 34 and United have 2 very good looking fixtures. And of course, you're always looking at who's going to play Aston Villa, the like undeniably defeated, already relegated team. Nothing to fight for, not even their pride. And
not even their pride.
Not even that. And this United team, I mean, they're still not that high scoring, but Martial is, at least looking at the Everton game, he's central to so much of the attacking play. Marcus Rashford is obviously like the darling right now, but Martial is the one with that cutting edge. And if anyone's going to do it for United, I think it's going to be him. And I think that's it feels a little bit like a punt, and it would require me dropping Kane or Aguero to make that happen. But I really like that. I have a good feeling about it.
Okay. I like that. And, you know, I'm just thinking now we should definitely get together and watch these Game Week 34s because this is going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy.
Have you looked at the fixture list for Game Week 34? Like, have you looked on the Fantasy Premier League site? There are games Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. There are six straight days of matches. It's like the Christmas it's insane.
It's like EPL Hanukkah. It's really amazing. The Festival of Lights.
it's gonna be way too much. I'm already like fearful for my job.
I am overwhelmed. I am so stimulated with Premier League right now. I might just fall over and die. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go to our number one. I actually think we both have the same number one. You want to say it at the same time?
Okay. On three.
Yep.
Wait. No, you can't say on three because I have to say three. So just after I say three, let's say it.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Sanchez. Wayne Hennessy, game week 37. No, I knew you were going to say Sanchez. That's who I have too. Alexis Sanchez in game week 34.
Oh, Wayne Hennessy with the could be.
I don't know. I mean, it's a little risky. I mean, we both have him as the number one. You said earlier you have him with a bullet. Or you said your number one was the number one with the bullet. And I assume you're talking about Sanchez.
Yeah,
It does make sense, but I mean, you just never know with him. I mean, like just the way he's played all year. I mean, I'm a little nervous about captaining him, to be honest.
Yeah, the discussion all season has been form, and form is key, and that's been the problem with Alexis this season as well. But going back to what you were saying about Firmino and the logic being you need to apply the triple captaincy to somebody who will be explosive,
mm-hmm.
and if they are explosive, will bring you that massive point haul. And Alexis is the guy. If it's not Aguero, it's Alexis, and he's that top caliber of attacking player right now. I mean, apart from Kane and Aguero, I don't know who else has more potential.
Certainly, I mean, it's amazing.
Kane doesn't have the double game week, of course, so he's not under consideration.
Yeah. It's incredible to me that we both list our top three, and neither one of us even at number three put Sergio Aguero, who has a double game week, including an away match at Newcastle.
Yeah, it's just I feel like Aguero has coasted into this role on everybody's team of we've just been burned on his captaincy a few too many times. And even like this past week, we captained Aguero, and had we gone with Payet or Kane, granted, we would have only gotten like two or four more points. But still, why are we so committed to this captaincy? And the role he is now is just to have him in your squad. You're covered to have him. You don't have to captain him.
But cast your mind, Brandon, back to game week 8. Sergio Aguero played a certain team, team called Newcastle.
Yeah.
Sergio Aguero scored 5 goals in a 30-minute stretch against Newcastle. Sergio Aguero is playing that same Newcastle team in game week 34. Now, that may inspire them to play better, but this is also a Newcastle team that may effectively be relegated by the time. No, I shouldn't say that, because there's too many games left still, but it's not looking very good for them, and they're not really – I mean, that Norwich match had to be incredibly demoralizing for Newcastle.
You could see it written all over Benitez's face. He's just like, I had no idea it was going to be this demoralizing.
It was actually very interesting, because I was watching the game on the NBC Sports Network, and they were showing another match. I think it went over the Arsenal match, and they cut in. So the Arsenal match finishes. They usually go to whatever match is kind of wrapping up, and so it was like the 91st minute or something, and they cut into the Norwich match just as Olsen was scoring that goal.
Is a game ever cut into when a goal is not scored?
It was incredible. I mean, I really respect Newcastle's fan base. I think they're tremendous fans, and they have a unique culture. And I don't really want to see them get relegated, but I loathe Mike Ashley, you know, so deeply that
I think Newcastle fans would say the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe you go down for a year, it forces them to make some changes. I mean, I don't know. It's I like Norwich. I mean, Norwich have great fans too. You know, it's I don't know. So it's
you're all great fans. You're the best.
I've always had a soft spot for Norwich.
Above all, everyone is an always cheating fan.
That's right.
So that's really right. What matters.
That's what matters. Okay, let's pick up the pace here a little bit.
Okay, we're lagging behind.
We're lagging behind. All right, Siraj, our buddy Siraj.
Hey, Siraj.
What are your thoughts on Liverpool and Man City players, given their congested fixture list? What do you think of the players least likely to be rotated? So we've talked a bit about both these teams. We haven't necessarily talked about the players most likely to be rotated. I think both of us are of the opinion that Sergio Aguero will actually not be rotated, really for any of these matches. I mean, I suppose, if they make the Champions League final, or the semifinals, even they're playing, Barcelona in two legs. I mean, I could see them, resting him then, but actually, who do they play in this quarterfinal? I can't remember.
PSG.
Oh, they play PSG. Right. So that's a very interesting match. Like I guess we'll know. Yeah. We'll know a lot after that match.
I feel like we've seen this a few seasons with Aguero where they come up on a lot of matches later in the season if they're still in the Champions League, and you worry about Aguero's rotation, and yet he never gets rotated.
Yeah. They really don't have another option. I mean, Bonnie Prince Boney is lumbering around at about 300 pounds right now, going about 1 mile per hour.
I imagine he's got like a broomstick between his legs and he's just sort of slapping the back of it like he's on a horse.
I mean, and the other player is Iheanacho, who can't play. He never even gets a full 90, I mean, he'll play 45 to 60 minutes in any given match. So I think KDB is the obvious choice for rotation. I think Silva could get rotated too. I mean, especially now that Samir Nasri is back, I could absolutely see, let's say they, I can't remember if Man City plays PSG at home or away in this first match, but let's say they win the first leg 1-0, and they know they have a really tough second leg coming up. I could see Silva, starting off in the bench, perhaps like in the away match to Newcastle, and then coming in the 70th minute or something like that.
Yeah, it's tough to say. Due to the fact that these could all be must wins for Manchester City just to stay in the top four.
Yeah, Man U defeating Everton was probably pretty good for people who are worried about rotation for Man City, because they really can't. They're really fighting for a Champions League spot at this point.
My feeling is you'll see a lot of these players like Silva and KDB starting every game, but under risk of getting subbed out at like the 55th minute.
Yeah.
You see Pellegrini do that quite a bit. I mean, we saw that happen in the Newcastle game when Aguero scored, was just on fire and he got taken out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would be, I would be less concerned about starts and more concerned just about minutes.
With Liverpool, I suppose it depends on how seriously they take their, I think they'll take it pretty seriously, their Europa League match. Obviously there's just the fact that I can't imagine, with Spurs, Spurs really didn't even field a proper team against Dortmund because, they're trying to win the league and they're not worried about Champions League spot, and the league obviously took precedence there. I mean, I don't think anyone begrudged Pochettino for not going for it there. Or, you shouldn't have if you did, because, it makes complete sense.
Well, point taken.
Yeah, but I think with Liverpool, there's a Champions League spot, if they win the Europa League, and they're playing Dortmund, they're playing his old club. So I think, they should play everybody, but I don't know. I mean, Daniel Sturridge is the one that Daniel Sturridge is a very tempting sort of differential target for me. Someone I would think if I dropped Aguero, I would think about bringing in Daniel Sturridge, or even moving Kane to Sturridge. Is something I would think about. Like maybe I keep Kane for game week 33, and then I use my transfer to move Kane to Sturridge in game week 30.
Yeah.
So, but if Sturridge played like the full 90 away to Dortmund, then I would definitely be worried about him starting.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of peripheral players in the Liverpool midfield that will see the rotation, like the Milners and the Lallanas and the Jordan Hendersons of the world.
Right. Coutinho's kind of injury prone. I guess you could worry about him a little bit.
Yeah, he's just sort of his own enemy. It's if he gets carded or if he gets injured, but he's so central to that offense.
All right, let's move on to Odin Gladvet. Says, Okay, actually, this is actually, I should have done these two as one, because he says, how much do you think, see, we don't do this much prep, you know, there's only so much you can do. He says, how much do you think the Europa League, Champions League, and FA Cup will affect rotation for double game week teams? So there are the FA Cup matches to think about as well. And, you know, I hadn't really thought about this, but, you know, for Crystal Palace and Watford, they really could rotate a little bit. I mean, at this point, they're both probably safe. I know that Kike Flores was just saying that Watford isn't safe, but I did think they are. I mean, I think they are at 37 points or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, they're technically not safe, but everyone below them is just such a disaster that they're fine.
So you could see in the lead up to the semifinals, there being a little bit of rotation on Watford, but, you know, and Crystal Palace for that matter. Although I don't think, if I was bringing in a Crystal Palace player, I'd be bringing in one of their central defenders, probably Delaney. So, I mean, those guys can play like every match basically. And I just don't know there's anyone worth bringing in on Watford at the moment. I mean, they have a Blake in game week 35. They have an okay fixture in game week 34. I mean, they're away to West Brom and West Ham. But those aren't, I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Troy Deeney, anybody?
Yeah, but Deeney can probably play every match too. I mean,
that guy's a bowling ball. If you really wanted to punt on Deeney, I would do it without concern over rotation.
I think an end of season punt on Deeney would be kind of fun. You know, their last match is at home to Sunderland, and there's a pretty good, like, if Sunderland is relegated in game week 38, I could see Deeney scoring like three goals. Yeah. So let's mark this down at the hour and whatever minute mark we're at right now. Troy Deeney, hat trick, game week 38.
Yeah, I think the teams that are most worrying would be West Ham and Manchester United, who have that replay, which is in the middle of, it's right before game week 34 starts.
Yeah.
So I guess leading into the double game week, it's not going to be a huge concern.
I kind of wish that that Antonio had held onto his form, because I'd be kind of nice if I could have Antonio and take the, like, you know, I think he's like 3 million less than Payet. So like take that 3 million and put it elsewhere. But as it is, I think Payet's like the one guy you really have to have on West Ham.
Well, I mean, speaking of West Ham form, what about Lanzini? He's got two goals in two games and he's playing the full 90. He's cheap. He's 4.9.
Yeah, that's an interesting option. Yeah.
So where Antonio isn't getting the attacking points now, Lanzini definitely fills in. And if he stays fit, that's a really nice bench option for you.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, we have two questions left, Brandon. First one is from Alex Waterbaby. He says, hello, guys. If wildcard this week, which is the best key preparing until the end of the season? Keep up the good work. Options for me are David De Gea and Darlow. Migs and Robles, or a combo of that. Maybe Schmeichel to cover the Foxes' defense.
Yeah, it's. I keep coming back to Peter Cech.
Do you have any concern about Ospina possibly not starting, or Ospina possibly starting one of those matches? I mean, I think he's in really good form. I could see Cech maybe not. I mean, obviously Arsenal have no other commitments, so I mean, Cech probably will play all those matches, but I think there's at least a chance that he won't.
No, if Cech is healthy, he plays. He was their marquee signing. He is a figurehead on that team, a leader for the defense, and he's a guy you want playing in the home stretch. Why would you put him on the bench? I mean, I understand Ospina is in form, but that's his role at the club fill in when Cech's not healthy. And there's no due that needs to be paid to Ospina for having great form.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I think David De Gea is a great option if you're willing to go to that price.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay, so another reason I would make the case for Cech, and particularly if Cech over De Gea, which I think they're at the same price right now, is Cech has a fixture in game week 35. So if you go David De Gea, you absolutely have to have a keeper that's playing in game week 35. So I guess that's where Darlow comes into it.
Right. Or Schmeichel.
Yeah. Right. I mean, is that too expensive a pairing to have Schmeichel and De Gea? How much does Schmeichel cost right now?
Well, his retail price is is 4.8. I have him at 4.6 at the moment because I bought him at 4.5. I've had him since game week one, actually. I'm probably going to keep Schmeichel, and the thing about Robles that makes him so tempting, even though the fixtures aren't quite as good for Everton, is that he's only 4.3 million. If you move from Robles to David De Gea, you've got to find 1.5 million elsewhere.
Yeah,
and that is kind of tricky.
Yeah, I mean, I'm putting it all out there on the line with Peter Cech. I'll just tell you right here, Josh, I'm getting Cech in.
I like it. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good move. I just I'm a little worried about whether he's going to play every match.
The other thing is I'm kind of stuck with Hennessy because of this double game week, and he's also just a supreme value option for me, who bought him at, I think he was 3.8 when I bought him.
Yeah.
So I need to buy a keeper that I can capitalize on in the double game week and who plays 35.
So high end check.
What about Willy Caballero? How long is Joe Hart going to be out for? Sorry, I got a little.
I think he's actually already coming back. He might actually start the Champions League match.
So there you go, Joe Hart. Joe Hart is another great option. He's got a fixture in game week 35, and as silly as that City defense can be from time to time, Joe Hart is still a great pick.
Yeah, and the thing about Robles is that he doesn't have a great. Game week 35 is it's actually a blank for him. So
yeah, Robles just feels like a 2 week punt to me. And you keep I'm just, keeper is something you don't want to have to be left monkeying around with when you're trying to juggle transfers going into game week 37. And I just want to be done with it after this wild card.
Yeah, I think Cech makes a lot of sense. David De Gea is the one I'm kind of leaning towards because I could pair him with Schmeichel, but yeah, so it's a tricky one for sure.
You could pair him like a like a fine red and a really stinky blue.
Yeah, like a table wine, a nice, yeah, exactly. All right, so a final question is from El Madrico, and he says, how many of Ozil, Mahrez, and Kane are you each selling? So we're both keeping. You're keeping Kane for the time being, right?
Yeah, I actually changed my team name to Keeping Kane. I'm planning on keeping Kane and Mahrez. I mean, they're certainly both on that bubble without double game weeks, but they're fantastic players, very explosive, and we need to keep game week 35 in the back of our mind.
Yeah, and Ozil is a sneaky triple captain option too. I mean, I know he's a little out of form right now, but I don't know. He doesn't score enough goals, really. He doesn't quite have that explosive element.
Yeah, and if you're planning on really only playing against the top highest percentage in the league, Ozil could actually turn into a differential if a lot of people are dropping him to bring in Sanchez.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So I'm not planning on bringing in Ozil at the moment, and I'm planning on keeping Mahrez and Kane.
Yeah, same for me. I mean, I feel like I got the best of Ozil, and I just want to remember him that way always.
Yeah, you dropped him at just the right time.
I suppose I did. I mean, of course, I brought him in for David Silva, who didn't do a whole lot for me. But, at least I'll always know that I was smart enough to drop Ozil.
That's right. You had him for game weeks 1 to 29, a very solid run. All right, so that's it. That was very substantive. We are not often this substantive on the podcast, Brandon. I'm kind of mentally drained after all that.
You left very little time for me to make up funny names for various Premier League players. So we'll try to do better on that next pod.
Yeah, we'll aim for funny next time. You can't really aim for funny though. Funny, it's got to be accidental. You can't plan on it.
All right, Josh. Well, good luck with your wild card tinkering. How many hours do you think you're going to spend tinkering with this wild card team over the next 5 or 6 days?
I mean, quite a lot, I imagine. Thankfully, I have plans on Friday night, so I can't spend all of Friday I can't come home after work and spend like 6 hours tinkering before I go to bed. It's got to be done by Thursday.
Right. All right. So I guess we're going to ask our listeners to stay tuned on social media, where we're going to bring our optimizer to you all on Facebook. And we'll probably share a link on Twitter to anything we say about our plans for this coming weekend.
I'm trying to hold our feet to the fire a little bit with some of our picks. And So we'll post those on Facebook, and we'll make sure they're up by Friday. We'll share the link on Twitter. And if you're not following us on Twitter, please do, because we're at 400. We're very close to 500 followers, and it's really driving me crazy that we can't seem to quite get over that hump. So
absolutely, we gotta get past 500 before the end of the season.
Exactly. We're like absolutely. we're 20 plus away, so we're very close.
All right, Josh, before we actually wrap up, a quick pitch for our good friends, Justin and Alex, who are out in Los Angeles, and they just launched this amazing new sports website called EFIS, EFISMag.com. So that's, what is EFIS, actually, Josh?
The EFIS is it's a baseball pitch. It's like a very, it's very like slow pitch. It's like there's no spin on it, no rotation.
All right. So you can find them at EFISMag.com, EPHUSMAG.com. It's sponsored by the Los Angeles Review of Books, and it's just all these great long form essays about every sort of sport imaginable, from baseball to soccer to big wave surfing. I think Justin and Alex have pitched it that way. So we're going to make our podcast actually available through EFIS.com as well. So you can find content from your friends Josh and Brandon there on the site.
You got it. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
All right, Josh. Hail Poku.
Hail Cheaters. Bye.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.